the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Holy God, in these few moments this morning, we ask that you will open our minds, our hearts, for those truths that you would have for us, so that our lives might be changed, that we might be challenged to share our faith. We pray these things in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, there was this woman who had a bucket full of regrettable decisions and heartache. She lived in a town where everyone knew her, knew of her failing to live up to what was considered to be a decent and conventional conduct for a woman. And so to avoid harsh judgment of her neighbors, you know how they are. They whisper and they look. So she did her chores in the heat of the day when everyone else was in their house staying cool. This woman was an outsider, a woman in a man's world, a racially mixed Samaritan, despised by the Jews, a repeat offender against social norms of her day. She was a nobody. And from reading John's gospel, we don't even know her name. So many times when the story is told, she's framed as what? A harlot, a prostitute, or at best, a sensually minded, unspiritual person. Yet there's nothing in the scripture lesson that helps us to know that. Jesus at no point invites repentance, or for that matter, even speaks of sin at all. She very easily could have been widowed or have been abandoned or divorced, which in that time was pretty much the same thing. And Jesus said, five husbands, and the one you are with now is not your husband. Five times seems like a whole lot, but those were some rough times. So perhaps she was living with someone that she was depending on, who needed to meet her needs. There are a number of possibilities. In fact, one might imagine this woman's story as tragic rather than scandalous. But isn't that the way it goes? At times we assume the worst about our neighbor and their circumstances. There is much we can learn from her, and we might even look at her as a messenger of Christ, a bringer of good news, an evangelist. The word angel comes from that word. This woman is an important person in our sacred stories. She has an encounter with Jesus, and what did she do? She told others about it. The Samaritan woman took her empty bucket to town to draw water, and there she met Jesus. And there we have the answer to that question, WWJD. What would Jesus do? He engages in a life-changing conversation with her because of his concern for her spiritual well-being and because Jesus was not necessarily a respecter of man-made boundaries. Jesus, the Savior of the world, drinks water with her. A man speaking to an unfamiliar woman. A Jew speaking with a Samaritan. A learned rabbi in a theological discussion with an uneducated woman. seems to me that these boundaries were what separated people from each other and from God. It seems that similar boundaries might just exist today. Aren't there those types of people out there with whom we would rather not associate? Those people who are not in keeping with the social norms that we might value, either perceived or in reality. And we magnify our differences rather than our commonalities, withholding the love of Jesus, withholding a long drink of the water of life. So this Samaritan woman goes to the well with her empty bucket, and she engages Jesus. Rather, Jesus engages her in a conversation and helps her to see who she really is. He offered to become into a relationship with her that would fill her emptiness. He offered her unending love and mercy as living water that would quench her thirst at the deepest levels of her soul. So there are two important things that we could think about. First, as I said, Jesus invites the woman into a relationship with himself. He extends that invitation to you and to me. Then Jesus sat down with the woman and listened to her and taught her, offering her maybe a little different perspective. He was sharing the life-giving faith in spirit and in truth. Now, when you saw the teaser in the palm leaf about this day and what the message was going to be, I said something like, in whatever you do, eating or drinking, do in spirit and in truth. Immediately after Jesus describes her past, she says, "I see that you are a prophet." Seeing in John is crucial to note because to see is often connected with belief. When the woman says, "I see you are a prophet," she's in a way making a confession of faith. You are something other than what I've ever met before. And Jesus has also seen her. He has seen her plight of dependence, not immorality. He has recognized her. He has spoken with her. For him, she exists where perhaps other Jews might walk on by. I didn't see that person over there. He has recognized her worth, her value, her significance, and she is not accustomed to that treatment. And so, when he speaks of her past both knowingly and compassionately, she realizes she's in the presence of a prophet. And what if we think of this story as not about sinfulness or immorality, but one about identity? In this story, she recognizes not just who Jesus is, but what he offers: dignity. Jesus invites her to not be defined by her circumstances and offers her an identity that lifts her above her tragedy. And she accepts playing a unique role in Jesus' ministry. as she's the first character in John's gospel to seek out others and tell them about this Jesus. And while we're on the subject of women, let us be reminded that women have always played key roles in Jesus' ministry. They were present at the tomb when the male counterparts scurried away. They were the first witnesses to the resurrection. And then there was this little assertion that Eve was the one who succumbed to the temptation, conveniently ignoring the author of Genesis, pointing out that Adam was there right beside her. So to assume that this Samaritan woman must be up to no good, a prostitute perhaps, smacks of chauvinism, and also brings into focus that as Christians, we often assume the worst of our neighbors, and it inhibits our ministry and our ability to let our all mean all when we say, all are welcome here. I believe that we are called to out ourselves as followers of Christ. That's risky business. Jesus took a risk in revealing himself to the Samaritan woman. We are called to take a risk and reveal ourselves as God's followers. And then, like Jesus, we listen, we share ideas about our faith perspective. Telling your story of faith, being a bringer of good news, being an evangelist, an angel, takes patience and kindness and a willingness to sit down and see that person, acknowledge their worth and their value. And Jesus showed us how in these verses. It matters hugely that during Lent we practice that sharing of our faith. During Advent, it's easy. The 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, it's obvious to everyone around us that we're preparing for something real special. Something unique and wonderful. The birth of Jesus. And even as secular as our culture is, there's a sense of wonder and excitement. We don't even have to think about the decorations and the lights or the presents. Something about that season gives us hopeful expectation. And during Lent, we're challenged and given the unique opportunity to invite others to look at our faith and hear our stories and experience Jesus as living water, a love that quenches soul thirstiness. Let me share with you that I came from a faith tradition that is a whole lot conservative, a whole lot of intolerance and exclusivity. Sounds like what's going on in this story, doesn't it? In many respects, the character of the Samaritan woman could be exchanged for me with all of my blemishes. Along my journey, I have experienced the brunt of intolerance and exclusivity when I was encouraged, maybe even commanded, to become someone or something I could never be in order to have a place in church, in eternity. Have you experienced that same thing? Too many times the message of the church is couched in a threat, belting someone over the head with the Bible instead of offering an invitation. Ask me for a drink, and I will give you fresh, living water. I am grateful to God for the Church of the Palms, where the message is love and inclusivity, of justice, of mercy, of offering our community a drink of the water of life, drawing the circle ever wider. Are we fully accomplished in this? No. But with God's help, we renew that commitment and these values every day, every day, every day. That's why they call it a journey. Jesus knew everything about the Samaritan woman, inside and out, and offered her love, acceptance, forgiveness, eternity. God knows everything about me, inside and out, and loves me and accepts me and forgives me. And there's a place in eternity for me. The same can be said of you. We are called to develop relationships outside our faith, though, and to learn what others think of us and how they see us. We have an opportunity to share our faith story and let our lives reveal the ancient story of a Savior sitting by a well with a woman who desperately needed to be known and loved, fully known and loved. Isn't that the deepest longing of your heart? Well, along with the famous WWJD tagline that's so popular, there was a saying on so many electronic signs in front of churches for a while: God loves you. Yes, even you. Like there's some great boundary that Jesus would dare not cross. And I wonder about that message and those words and what the people who drive by and read those think. Ooh, I have to measure up. I have to change something within me about myself before I could ever walk in that place. Jan, I don't think we've ever put that on our sign. And we're not about to, are we? Jesus didn't recognize boundaries that created outsiders and nobodies. We're all somebody. We're all beloved children of God. If we recognize ourselves as beloved children of God, then I think it helps us to recognize others as children of God as well. And if we recognize others as beloved children of God, then we have a responsibility to tell them about that living water, sometimes in deeply personal ways, ways that might draw tears. It has to be in our own words. It has to be in our own experiences of how God has worked and is working in us, given in hope and love and not with a baseball bat. I believe it's important to every one of us here that the Church of God exists long after we're gone, that this church exists and gathers here to worship long after you and I are gone. How's it going to happen if we don't welcome all? In this Lenten season, we have been given an opportunity to share our faith, to be messengers of good news, who tell others, as the Samaritan woman did, about our encounters with God. She didn't have it all figured out. She didn't have everything down to the precise detail in case those dreaded questions might come up. But what did she do? She told her neighbors and asked them, "Do you think this man could be the Messiah?" Think with me for a minute. Could the upcoming rummage sale be someone's well? How about the people who you will meet in the waiting room at the doctor's office? Could that be someone's well? How about the golf course, guys? Could that be someone's well? And will you take the opportunity to share a deep drink of life-giving water, no matter how small? Now, did you notice that she left her bucket at the well? She didn't have all the answers. You don't have to have all the answers either. We're just asked to share. We don't hear about her again, do we? But she met Jesus at the well, and he saw her. And she knew it. And she left the bucket at the well because it was so strong within her to share that message of good news. She couldn't articulate the mystery, but she said, "Come and see. This one knows me inside and out." That's the invitation we can extend to everyone we know. Come and see. It's what Jesus said to the first disciples. Come and see. During these 40 days of Lent, we are invited to keep close company with Jesus. Jesus who endured 40 days and nights of fasting in the wilderness. You may have your own discipline that you recognize and practice during Lent, but maybe you're wondering, what can I do? What does it even mean? Why should I even bother? How about using this time to let down your bucket and share your faith story with others and invite them to come and see? Or maybe even sing a song of hope and love. Jesus loves me, this I know, as he loved so long ago, taking children on his knee, saying, "Let them come to me." Our God loves us still today, walking with us on our way, wanting as a friend to give light and love to all who live. Yes, our God loves us. Yes, our God loves us. Yes, our God loves us. We'll share it as we go. And all God's people said,